Welcome to the Codings Pro podcast. My name is Stephanie Chizik, and I'm editor-in-chief of Codings Pro magazine. Joining us today is Mel Kleiman, founder and president of Humetrics. Founded in 1976, Humetrics has been helping employers reassess and reinvent the way they recruit, select, and retain frontline hourly employees and the people who manage them. Mel, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, Stephanie, thanks for having me. Really looking forward to this conversation.
I am too. I think it'll be really helpful for our subscribers. So do you think maybe you could start by giving us a bit of your background?
I've been doing this so long. If you look at the date they said I started this, I always like to tell people I've been doing this so long that every question that is now illegal to ask was legal when I started.
Okay.
So I've been looking at, and the approach I attempt to take in everything that we do at Humetrics and our hiring process, management process, everything else, is we continue to look at what I call uncommon common sense. And what I mean by that is the fact that, okay, we need to hire, for example, let me just give you an example. Mm-hmm. I think all of us need to hire people who work hard. And so often I say, okay, you need people who work hard. How many of you ever ask questions in relationship to hard work? And I don't think any of us, very rarely do I have somebody say, yes, I asked something. Well, what do you ask? Well, you know, are you willing to work hard? Well, that's better than the question you're not asking, but you know what the answer is going to be if you said to anybody, are you willing to work hard? The answer is going to be, of course I'm willing to work hard.
Right.
Well, why not just ask somebody? In an interview, I would say to Stephanie, for example, let me ask you a question, Stephanie. What's the hardest job you ever had? Now, let's role play for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting you on the spot in this interview, not me. And I said to you, Stephanie, what's the hardest job you ever had? How would you answer that question?
I think I would say the job I currently have is the hardest one I've ever had because it takes a lot of management of my time, learning new skill sets and people. It's definitely a lot of balls are being juggled that I haven't had to do in the past necessarily.
So it's picking, that's it. And I would then ask you to expand on it. But how much have I learned from you just by the answer to that question?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about it. And so why were we not saying to everybody? Because normally when we think about hard work, it's interesting, the mind first goes to physically hard.
Mm.
And yet in most cases, yes, and they're building a new house next door to mine. I watch these guys, they're working physically hard, you know. But the fact of the matter is, some days I would love to be able to work physically hard rather than have the new responsibilities you talked about and everything else.
Uh-huh.
So common sense, if this is what we need to know, what is a great question that we can ask to get to it? So everything I try and do is based on, okay, does it make sense? Is there a reason we do it? Do we act? Is it different than what everybody else is doing? And do we get more than just canned answers? So that's the key.
I also think maybe what you're touching on too, it seems like, is rather than asking yes or no questions, maybe ask something that where they have to sort of come up with a personal experience or a specific example.
You're always looking for specific examples. You're always looking for, for example, the big problem, if we're just going to talk about interviewing today, but we can talk about retention. We can talk about all these things. But for example, one of the key methods that people train on interviewing is what they call behavioral-based interviewing. And an example of behavioral-based interviewing is give me a time where you had to deal with a team member who wasn't cooperative. Mm-hmm. And how did you deal with it? Give me a time when you had to deal with a difficult customer and how you dealt with it, how you solved the problem. The problem is we tell people exactly what we want the answer to the question to be.
Mm.
I said, tell me about a time you had to deal with a difficult customer and how did you solve the problem? Okay. So what did you tell me? Okay, don't tell me about time you failed. Tell me about a time and how you solved it. So the difference is we have to look at a better way to ask interviewing questions. We need to really reinvent the hiring process. And we can talk about that today, but we also need to reinvent the onboarding process.
Right.
And in today's world, in the new normal, which there is no normal, if you want to do it that way, we also have to look at how do we manage the management process, because it's a different world, and it affects all of us, whether we're a place where we show up for work or not every day, or a place where we don't. Expectations are different today than we were just 2 months ago.
Absolutely. And I also think potentially is the actual the interviewing process, by sheer fact of maybe having to do it virtually more often than in previous years or months even, that's sort of changing the landscape a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's changing it. But actually, the problem in most cases, especially with what's the normal size of most of your members? What's the normal size company for most of the people who read what you write? What's the normal size?
I would say it can vary from what we call like mom and pop shops, where it really truly is a one or two person company, up to, you know, maybe 30 to 50 employees of a larger contracting firm.
Okay, so look at that. Even a company, even your largest members, if they're good at interviewing, and they're good at picking, and they're good at retention, how often do they have to interview?
Yeah.
In reality, they don't have to interview a lot. Okay, because they're not doing that much hiring normally, unless they're hiring a crew or they're hiring somebody. But the fact of the matter is, you can be the world's greatest golfer, you can be the world's greatest tennis player, you can be the world's greatest athlete, whatever. Well, how good would you be if you only played one round of golf a year?
Mm.
How good would you be if you only played one tennis match a year? How good would you be if you only got to go windsurfing once a year? You wouldn't be very good at it.
Uh-huh.
So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we have systems that let us excel at what we're doing. The system makes up for the fact that we don't get a lot of practice. And the key is, practice doesn't make perfect, only perfect practice makes perfect.
So when you talk about systems, do you mean sort of practicing the interviewing process internally, or just is it more of like a constantly interviewing potential employees?
Well, one, I happen to think that depending on the size of your organization, let's assume you have three or four employees, okay?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
If you have three or four employees, you should, as a manager, make sure that every month or two you have an interview with somebody for a potential job.
Okay.
How about an ad that said, become pre-approved to work here?
Mm.
Okay. That gives you a chance to, that gives you a chance. Maybe you'll find somebody that could automatically help you make your team better. If you found a really great employee, even though you only had two or three employees, if you found somebody who you really, really felt would be great, could you find a place for them? Yeah, most of us would.
Right.
Because we know they would generate more than they cost us. So I would say, if you have somebody who you need more than that, yeah, I think you put – I tell many of my clients that you have to, as a manager, you've got to have on your calendar have at least one or two interviews a month. Must.
Okay.
Okay. Practice. That's... Practice. What happens if you get surprised you find a great person? What does it tell every other employee who knows you're always looking for another great employee? What does it tell them?
Yeah. Tells them that they're constantly being considered, I guess, for other roles or to be
That's
replaced.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or that you need to stay on top of your game. So that's part of it. That's it. I think you have to look at the hiring process. You need to look at, there are four, if you look at it, there are four tools in the hiring process, four decisions that are made. Number one is past, in most cases when we hire, we look at past work experience.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm looking to hire somebody, how good is their past work experience, A, B, or C? Okay. Number two is, how good is the interview? How do they cut? And some of your best employees in your industry may not be great at interviewing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's okay. Because I'm not looking for the great communicator. I'm looking for somebody who I feel can understand and do the job. That's the key.
Right.
So we've got number one is past work experience and we're looking to hire for it. Number two, what we're looking for is somebody, how they interview. Number three, I would recommend highly that you look at testing. For, interestingly enough, you may need testing can fall in a lot of areas. For example, if you need a specific skill, test for it. Mm-hmm. You need a welder, have them run a bead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have test, you know, you need to test for it. Do they have the, so we begin to look at that and then references. So I have a formula that says 30, 30, 30, 10. Past work experience is worth 30% of the grade. So your work experience says it's an A. The interview, you only come out maybe a B plus, maybe a B minus. But the past work experience is an A, and we test you to find out if you got the right kind of attitudes or skills and attitude, and they're an A. Well, then I've got to look at my interviewing and said, did I miss something?
Hmm.
I've got to look at the work. So we look at that, and then references are worth 10%, and we always want to check references, always. But if they're bad, then we better figure out because they may be worth 100%. Did the person really tell me the truth?
Right.
Okay. Checking references means you look at everything that, you know, do we do a criminal record check? Mm-hmm. That's a reference. So you have a formula that you use.
So you mentioned, I think those are great tips. What happens if someone, you know, I guess gets an A plus in everything except is new to the industry? So we're talking mostly to coatings contractors. So,
yeah.
Well, I guess they couldn't necessarily get an A plus then in the testing portion either. But if how important is the past experience?
If you look another formula. Okay, I've got all kinds of formulas.
Yeah.
If you imagine a pyramid, and at the base of the pyramid is skill, is capacity. So put a C or capacity at the base of the experience. Can they physically and mentally do the job? That is the number one key.
Okay.
Can they, for example, will they show up every day for work on time? Can they lift? Can they stand? Can they reach? That's capacity. Are they smart enough to learn the job? That's capacity. You can have everything else, but if you won't show up for work or you can't do it and I can't train you to do it, then I can't hire you. I shouldn't hire you.
Right.
But as an example, I used to own 9 Hertz car rental franchises. Mm-hmm. My best service agent, capacity-wise, IQ, was borderline. I'm talking about 90, maybe 92. That puts him in the borderline IQ. Tough to teach. Disability. He's got a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Mental challenge. Once he learned the job, Edgar was probably the best service agent we ever had.
Oh, wow.
He never missed a day of work. Always had a smile. Once he understood the checklist, if it was on the checklist, it got done.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter if the car was out 10 minutes or 10 weeks. If it was out, you went through that checklist and you checked the oil, checked the water, you checked the reach, you checked the tire. He did everything on that checklist every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I think people came to us because of Edgar.
Oh, wow.
Because they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He cared. That's capacity. A gov capacity is attitude. If I sat to you and said, Nay, if I said to any of your members, give me one word that describes the best employee you have working for you. You know what kind of words I get? Dependable, responsible, accountable,
mm-hmm. Passionate.
Team player, passionate. They're attitudes. Mm-hmm. I didn't get one skill word out of you.
Mm-hmm.
I got attitude words. So we hire for attitude. And then personality. You know, jobs have personalities. Companies have personalities. We call that culture. Managers have personality. Does the personality fit into the job to a point that the person's really going to be enjoying, be happy doing it?
Right.
And then finally is skill. The interesting thing is, University of Chicago did a study, and only 9% of the people fail because they can't do the job.
Wow.
We don't have difficulty finding skill. They have the skill. What's the problem?
Right.
They won't. Mm. They won't do the job. So that becomes the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is we've got to sit there and we've got to turn around and we've got to say, okay, skill. We can, you know, if I need somebody who's got a skill, have them demonstrate it. Skill's not the problem. What is attitude? Hire for attitude, train for skill.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. I think that could also apply to even the interviewing process you're saying. So you put out a lot of great sort of like little tidbits through your newsletter or your email distribution. And one of the,
right.
one of the recent ones that I saw that came out that said you were talking about how if someone's late or maybe dressed what you would consider inappropriately for an interview, rather than just completely disregarding them as a candidate, ask them to reschedule and come back and let them know how important those things are to your company. I thought that was just such a really great tip because that would probably tell you if they're willing to adjust.
Well, that's totally the fact of the matter is most of us make a hire back to that University of Chicago study. Most of us make a decision whether we like somebody or not in less than 14 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I like your smile. Okay. I like what you wore. I will bet you in the coding industry,
mm-hmm.
you've made a decision on somebody before they ever walked through the door because you saw them when they pulled into the parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay. We make a decision we don't even know why, subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
We make a decision. Or we find out that, hey, you know, I live in a place called Sugar Land, Texas. Could be Houston, but it's suburb, Houston's a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
If I was interviewing somebody in, or let me give you another, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, years and years ago. But hey, if I was interviewing somebody and they were for St. Louis, what do I already have? An instant bond.
Mm-hmm.
What's the bond?
I
mean, so begin to look at, don't make that 14-second mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because when we find somebody we like, what do? We look for reasons to hire them.
Right.
When we find somebody we don't like, what do we look at? Somebody walked in. And for some reason, you've got a prejudice against them, whatever it is, or you don't like people who are too thin, or you don't like people who are too fat, or you think they're too old, or you think they're too young, you do something else. Bluntly, you made a decision. No. You know?
Yeah.
Don't do that. I mean, I'll tell you, I can always remember one of the people I hired who, I'm not going to tell you what my prejudice is, but she hit my hot button.
Right.
Well, let me tell you what. I put that aside for the interview. I said, no, let's look at her. Let's look at her and put her behind the screen. We can't see her.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, she was one of the absolute best employees I ever hired.
Wow, that's amazing.
No, because I recognized, hey, I'm making a decision based on, this isn't fact. This is feeling.
Right.
Okay.
It's fascinating. So, I don't know if you've read, I just finished reading Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, and that's exactly, it's what you're talking about.
Well, in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, he says we make a decision we like somebody or not in less than 1/100th of a second.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that's the key. We like, no, come on.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Move past
and then
that.
Put it aside.
Mm-hmm.
He, in fact, in the story Blink, he talks about one of the examples he's giving, if I remember correctly, is there was a period of time that women were never allowed to be in classical orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it was proven fact that women were not capable of being classical musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Genetically impossible for women to be. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Women cannot be classical musicians.
Yeah.
It's impossible. And one of the symphonies interviewed behind a screen.
Yeah, a literal screen, yes.
Little screen.
Yep.
They couldn't see it. And the person who was the number one candidate was a cellist who had a female, only put her initials down, did not write her name, put her initials down, and she blew everybody away. And when they took the screen away, they said, "That can't be you."
Yeah. That's
So,
crazy.
we've got all these prejudices. They get in our way when we begin to look at it.
So
And
then,
especially to go on.
oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, so how do you, I mean, I guess in my mind too, a lot of times right now we're talking about how you diversify your team, and diversity means different things to different people. But I mean, I think there's probably a fine line between, you want to hire people who would meet your team's attitude and the culture and those kinds of things. But at the same time, does that sort of lead you down a path where you're only hiring people who are just like you?
Yep. How's that? You want a quick answer? Yep. The fact
I didn't learn my
that
lesson. I shouldn't have asked it a yes or no.
yeah. Okay. Yep, but I'll expand on it. I'll expand on it. The key is when you hire people just like you, you never get a second opinion. Okay. We need to look at people who think differently. That's the key. We've got to look at, okay, the question, for example, one of the questions I ask before you hire anybody, the first question is, can we do this job differently? Can we do this job without hiring anybody? Does this job need to be done at all? That's the first question you ask. I'm going to go fill the position. Well, let me ask you, let's think about it. Do we really need this job done? Can we do it differently? Can we do it without hiring anybody? Does it need to be done at all? Okay. The airlines have been absolutely fabulous at getting us to do all the jobs they used to pay people to do.
Yes.
Okay. We book our own flights. We carry our own luggage. Think about all the things that when you get to go off the plane, they have walk down the aisles and you help clean it up.
Yeah.
Okay, they've trained their passengers to do every single job that we used to pay people to do.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, man.
Can you look at can we do this job differently? That's the first question. Or does it need to be done at all? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and I just took a training course for being a virtual manager, and one of the questions that really stuck with me is rather than saying, do you have any feedback? How was this good? You ask your employee instead, if anything, if you could perfect this, if it was perfect in your mind, what would it have looked like? So that you get, more feedback that's more useful.
I mean, don't, it's like ask it. It's back to that question I was talking about earlier when you tell me a time you had it with a difficult customer and how you solved the problem. You're telling me what the answer to the question is, When was the last, virtually, well, if you want to talk about virtual employees, but most of your readers and most people listening to this, maybe they can use a virtual office person. But in reality, most of the jobs can't be done virtually.
Correct. The office staff, perhaps, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the office staff could be virtual. But the point being is, okay, let's look at just how we make sure, when was the last time you had a conversation with any of your employees that's saying, okay, what skills do you have that we're not using or that you'd like to develop more effectively? I mean, the key to great hiring, bluntly, building a great team, I'm going to take this in a totally different direction, Stephanie. The key to building a great team is not hiring great people is only part of it. The most important part of it is retaining great people. Because in today's world, even with the unemployment rate at now 11.3%, where 3 months ago it was 3.2, the fact of the matter is still, the easiest person to leave you and end up with another job is your best employees.
Right.
You know, now more than ever, we need to be making sure we retain the best people we possibly can.
Absolutely.
And are you making sure that you're doing the thing? Because remember, no matter what it's like, A players never have to play on C teams. A players can always find a great team to play on. So we want to be really great. The key is, number one, doing all the things you can to be a great employer. Because otherwise, you may hire great people, but the fact of the matter is all you do is have a hole in your bucket.
Right. They're constantly leaving.
They constantly just flow out the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Or splash over the top.
Oh, man. I think that is a whole nother podcast episode. We might have to have you back and talk about retention. That sounds like so much more information that could be shared.
Yes.
Yeah. So before we sign off, is there any sort of like just as a key takeaway, maybe the biggest mistake that people could avoid when it comes to hiring and interviewing, or maybe best way to be successful?
I think there've been a lot of tips that I've given.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that many companies aren't using, especially the smaller company, I would be looking at making sure that I add testing into my hiring formula.
Okay.
I would make sure that we look at making sure that what we see in the interview is what we really get.
Right.
And so it's making sure you're asking the right interviewing questions, and two, making sure we test and verify that the answers we got are really the answers that were meant to be.
Right.
We didn't hire the best applicant. We hired the best potential employee.
Hmm. Well, that's a great place to end, I think. What a great takeaway for our readers. Mal, thank you so much for spending time with me. If people want to reach out to you after this, how should they do that?
Well, there are a couple of easy ways. One is you can email me. I don't know if it'll be on the podcast, but you can mail me at mkleiman@umetrics.com. That's mkleiman. Or make it easy, you can just go info@umetrics.com. That's probably the easiest. I will respond to all of them. You can call me. I answer my own phone. That number is 713-771-4401. That's 713-771-4401. And you can go to the Humetrics site and sign up for my blog, which I don't put it out very often unless I have something to say.
And you do have a lot of great things to say when you do put it out. So I would highly recommend that. Yeah, I think it's great. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much,
Stephanie,
Mal.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks again to Mal Kleiman of Humetrics for joining us and sharing some of his knowledge with us today. I met him, I think, 5 or 6 years ago now, maybe at the International Roofing Expo. And he is just such an engaging presenter and speaker that we thought that he'd make a great person to chat with on the podcast. So hopefully you're able to use some of his tips and tricks today. They seem like they're definitely something that can be implemented right away. And hopefully we will be able to get to chat with him again soon when it comes to retaining star employees, as he calls them. He does have a lot of great information that's coming out through his newsletter, which he said, like he mentioned, that it doesn't get produced frequently, but when it does come out, they have really great tips, again, that can be implemented right away. So a lot of food for thought coming from Mel. Hopefully everyone out there can use some of the information that he shared. Please do check back at humetrics.com for information with Mel. For anything else coatings related, be sure to check out coatingspromag.com. We've got all sorts of good information coming out regarding employee retention and money matters, notes from the field, all kinds of interesting things for our commercial and industrial contractors. So check that out. Reach out to us if you have any ideas or feedback. I'm Stephanie Chizik, Editor-in-Chief of Coatings Pro Magazine. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, happy coding.